Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
If aliens showed up on your doorstep tomorrow and they asked, give us something to drink, what alcoholic beverage would you give them? On the Fred Minnick Show, Vampire Diary star Ian Somerhalder joins me to talk about aliens and what we would drink with them. We're also sipping some really rare bourbon from the 1940s. Tune in to however you get your podcast. Listen to this episode to hear the greatest celebrity palate I have ever tasted with, Ian Somerhalder. Here's a hint.
It's almost like oak that's been soaked in maple syrup.
Don't miss this episode. Download the Fred Minnick Show today. Cheers.
Well, we got our indie live show. We'll be playing some Rotten Tomatoes game. I will be doing Unprepared as per usual. First, there's Geico. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance, they are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
Live from the Helium Comedy Club in Indianapolis, Indiana, this is the Adam Carolla Show. With Chris Laxamana on news and Bald Brian on the screen. Plus, we're going to play some Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, here continuing his, do they have a P.F. Chang's tour of places to flee California to? Give it up. It's Adam Carolla!
Yeah, man, get it on. Thanks, mijo. Thanks for coming out tonight. It's too early for mijo. Mijo? No. Yeah, you guys have Mexicans here? They call everyone mijo. They call their kids mijo. And they're always surprised. That's what I found. I work with a lot of Hispanic guys, and whenever you call them at their apartment the night before work and their wife answers the phone, they always go, hello? And then you go, is Jose there? Jose? No! And it's like, all right, I'm just asking, you know. This isn't ice calling. Just curious. I just flew in. Like, we landed 40 minutes ago. Why are you guys on Eastern time? Is that it? No one. Are we in the Midwest? What's going on here? Shouldn't we be 2 hours off of LA? We're 3 hours off of LA, right? Why? What's going on? You've cost me a goddamn hour of my life, and I was freaked out. So let me give you guys a little glimpse into my life. I took the latest flight out of L.A., which was an 11:30 flight on American Airlines, and that lands us here at like 4:30 or 5 with your goddamn three-hour padding worked in. And then, or maybe it's 5:30 or 6, I think it's like 6:30, and then we have to come straight to the club. So there's no going to the hotel, there's no washing your balls, there's just going straight to the venue, which is never great, but all right, we're here, I can deal with it. Now, I'm leaving from Malibu, California. And Malibu, California, I have a condo that's right in the middle of Malibu, California. And PCH is the street that runs all the way along the coast. And in order to get to LAX, from where I am, you go down to PCH and you turn left. And it's about 11 miles. It's about 35, 40 minutes to LAX. So I have an 11:30 flight, and I figure I'll leave about 10 in the morning, and I'll get to LAX about 10:30, and I'll make my 11:30 flight. But I check the Waze at about 8:45 in the morning, and it says, go to PCH and turn right. Now, LAX is that way. It's to the left. So if it says turn right and head for San Francisco, that is a bad sign. That means some shit is going down on PCH between my condo and LAX, and I'm not going to make it. Turn right means go the other way. Turn your back to your destination. Just like my father turned his back on me so many years ago. Go the other way. Go to Pepperdine University. Go up and over the canyon. End up in the San Fernando Valley. Take the 101 down and around. Hour and a half. But thank God I caught it at 8:45 in the morning. But now I'm in hustle mode. So now all of a sudden, I'm throwing shit in my bag, getting stuff in the car, get down to PCH. It's free and clear to the left, but something evil lurks in the distance. So says Waze. So I turn right. It's an hour and a half if you turn right. But it doesn't matter. I'm still going to get to LAX about 11 o'clock for an 11:30 flight, but I'm already checked in. And then I had this weird mind fuck. Do you guys ever do this thing where you go, you're talking the whole week, like, yeah, we're 11:30, the flight's 11:30, it's 11:30, and then you go, the day you leave, you go, is it really 11:30? Or we've just been rounding up or rounding down, right? We keep saying 11:30, but it's 11:38, right? Right, we've saying 11:30. So I'm like, I could use that 7 or 8 minutes. So I go down to my car and I grab the itinerary and I'm hoping for my 11:38 departure. We've been saying 11:30 the whole time. Fucking ticket says 11:29. Now it's only a minute, but it's still like being ear raped, right? By a calendar. So I go, all right. So I turn right and it's all right. Now I'm going to take an hour and a half to get to a place that takes a half hour. But this is the last flight coming to Indy and we're coming straight to the venue. So this is it. If I don't make this, I'm not here tonight. So I turn right and then I check Waze one more time. And now Waze is having a Hatfields and McCoy's type fight with Google Maps. Google Maps is like, you can do it in an hour, bitch. And I'm like, but Waze says an hour and a half. I'm like, fuck that homo. Listen to me. Who are you going to listen? Come on, we go way back. Waze rhymes with gays. You don't fucking trust it, do you? So now I'm heading toward San Francisco, and Google Maps goes, I can do it in 58, but you got to trust me. You got to believe. Turn around. It's 58 that way? Yeah, go back. Do a U-turn. Start going back down PCH. Hit a huge traffic snarl. And now I'm literally stopped on PCH. And I got to tell you something. There's nothing more demoralizing. There's a homeless guy. And he's pushing a shopping cart filled with shit on the side of PCH. And he motors right past me. I'm like a fucking junkie with a laden shopping cart. High on fentanyl with one flip-flop is making better time than you to LAX. That's what's happening right now. So I hit Waze. I go back to Waze. I'm like, fuck Google Maps. I'm going back to Waze. I go back to Waze. It says, you're going to get to LAX at 11:17 for an 11:29 flight. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And then at some point, it jumps to exactly 11:30 on 11:29 flight. And I'm like, well, fuck it. I'm not coming to Indy. It's not it. I'm sitting on traffic. the guy in the shopping cart just did a fucking Brody around my SUV, fucking hung an ass cheek and is heading down PCH. So I'm literally stopped, but then it does the check-in where it removes 8 minutes, and then it's like traffic's going to break ahead. Anyway, a lot of suris, as you guys don't say here, that's Jew for anxiety. I end up getting to LAX at 11, run and catch my flight. Thank God my assistant forgot to do the TSA check-in shit, so I got to get in with the general pop. There's a guy holding us up in line because he's in security, and they're doing the ID thing. Never a good sign when the guy in front of you is doing the whole ID thing at the thing with the boarding pass, and all his shit is in a Ziploc baggie. That's not a good sign. That means you're going to be waiting a while the crazy person who can't fucking afford a wallet is going through a Ziploc bag to get his most valuable possessions. So we get through that. Then it's time to go in. Now, I'm PSA or TSA pre with the clear and everything, but my assistant never put it on the fucking itinerary, so I got to go in with you people. Take the shoes and the belt off. And, of course, the chick in front of me has a cat. She's got a cat. She's got to take the cat out of the cat bag. The cat is not trained because cats are untrainable. It's not this is an untrained cat. It's all cats are untrained. There's no such thing as a trained cat. So the cat is clinging to her bosom with the claws. She has not only the cat and the cat carrier, but all the accoutrements that go along with traveling with a cat. Weird water feeder thing, snacks and everything. The cat's wrestling with her. I'm fucking running late. Mike August is waiting by the gate. She has an entire gypsy caravan of feline shit on the conveyor belt in front of me. She's wrestling with the cat. The belt's going. I try to push her stuff. I just try to edge her stuff toward the belt. Fucking bag falls over. Cat treats everywhere. Watering bottles. Self-help books on being single ladies with too many cats like on the ground. She turns and looks at me. I'm like, I was trying to. She's now got the cat. Now she's one armed. You don't want to be behind someone with one fucking arm. So it's like the guy in The Fugitive who killed that guy's wife. She's got one arm because one arm is dedicated to the cat and the other arm is dedicated to getting through security, but it's half the fucking speed two armed people go through security. Can I say this? Mark Garagos, attorney's a friend of mine. And you boo if you want. He gets it. Mark's a friend. And Mark had an eye condition for a while, and he had to go cross-country many times, but he was unable to fly with his eye condition. So he had to take a bus. He took a rock and roll tour bus back and forth across the nation for a number of months. There's some women who are pregnant who can't fly because they're that far along in their pregnancy. There are people with, like, ear conditions who can't fly. There's many many conditions Americans have that prevent them from flying. I would argue needing to go everywhere with your fucking cat would be a condition. That's a condition, right? Obviously, there's something going on. You get on the no fucking fly zone list, bitch. So we got onto the flight. This is a first world problem, but I don't know if you guys have ever had the, if you fly, you know, there's first class and then there's first class now. We were first class, but first class now, not how it used to be, right? With the serving cart and the champagne and all that shit. First off, you don't get booze in first class for an hour and a half. Do you guys know that? You get on the plane first. You get to get on the plane first. There's no water. There's no champagne. There's no cocktails. You just sit in first class while everyone with a bag with wheels on it just bangs it against your shin and gives you a look like, I'm going to drop a deuce in your bathroom in about 40 minutes, bro. Oh, yeah, I'll be going full Kool-Aid through that curtain and dropping it. But I always think of it like, could you imagine? And then at some point, so you sit on the ground for 40 minutes, you get ignored, you get no booze, and then you taxi, and then you take off, and then you get up to your cruising altitude, and by the time you order your first drink, you've been there an hour and 25 minutes. Could you imagine if bars work this way? Like, you just pull up a bar stool and sit at the bar, and the bartender's like, I'm going to stand here for an hour and a half, and then you can order. Meanwhile, I'll be trying to sell you a credit card where you can use your Sky Miles. So we got up to cruising altitude. I ordered my drink. Sitting in front, I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but if you sit in the very front of first class, you're fucked. Because you're up against the fucking bulkhead. And the space between the bulkhead and the seat in first class is the same as the seat behind you, but your fucking feet can't go anywhere. They're up against the bulkhead, and you get no TV screen because you're up against the bulkhead, and your backpack needs to be collected and put in a bin because you're up against the bulkhead. And Mike, when you travel with Mike August, he travels with his computer and he watches movies, but he never turns the sound up. So we just watch movies with no sound, which is fine because we usually pick action films. And then you're watching, like, you know, Red Dawn or Con Air or whatever, and you just watch it. The dialogue actually hurts the film at that point. This time, Mike chooses to film Licorice Pizza. Licorice Pizza is just two ugly people talking to each other for 2 hours in a diner from the 70s in the San Fernando Valley, which is fine. I sit there and watch Licorice Pizza, no action, no explosions, no chase scenes, no nothing, just two people. And I've made my peace with it, but Mike is not content. Mike is looking at the screen and he's going, what's going on here? This guy's getting arrested for what? I go, Mike, you don't have sound. You can't critique a movie where people sit and talk as being a shit movie if, in fact, you're not hearing the movie. Mike's watching the whole movie going, what the fuck's going on here? We're 19 minutes in. Nothing's going on. Yeah, they're talking, Mike. You don't have an earbud. Mike, he's like, this kid, he goes in, he's talking, then he gets arrested, then he's in a place where they sell waterbeds. It makes no sense. Yeah, but Mike, if you could hear it, I bet it would. This is very unfair of you, Mike, to critique this film this way. We're heading back on Sunday. I didn't check the itinerary until I was on the way to the airport. Can't get any direct flights out of your fair fucking city. Back to my unfair city. Los Angeles is a trash heap. There's no doubt about it. But at least we have direct flights to the trash heap or from the trash heap. There was no direct flight. You know what my fucking flight is Sunday? We leave here 8:30 in the morning, Sunday morning. 4 hour layover in Austin. 4 hours. I'm like, we should just fucking take an Uber from Austin back to LA at that point. You know your fucking layover's long when you're entertaining leaving the airport, right? Where you go, well, fuck, we could go out whoring. Is there an Indian casino in Austin we can fucking hang out at? Like, 4 fucking hours layover. We're leaving. we're leaving your fair city at 8:30 in the morning. We're landing in L.A. at 3 p.m. with the fucking three-hour goddamn time difference that you guys have somehow decided on. That is about a 17-hour travel day to get fucking halfway across this godforsaken country. No masks on the plane, by the way. That was... that was kind of a breath of fresh air, pardon the pun. I mean, just... It was never the fucking mask. It was always the enforcement of the mask. You know, here's your food, sir. Gonna need you to pull that shit back up. No fucking mask on the plane. Nobody gave two shits. Half the people in LAX weren't wearing a mask. It's so fucking nice to enter sanity again. And again, no one seemed to give a shit on this airplane. And I'm glad we're back. All right. Is Bald Brian out there? Is he going to chime in here, Chris? Is he on?
There he is.
John.
Can you hear me, Ace Man?
Yeah. This is the first time I've flown since the mask ordinance went away. And it is nice. I don't know
why. You barely wore the mask anyway.
No,
I
didn't wear the mask, but it was a constant battle with whoever. Again, the scariest seven words you can hear on a flight is on behalf of your Seattle-based flight crew. That just means you're fucked. That means some 27-year-old cunt is going to be up your ass the entire fucking flight. You can have a flight crew from Houston or India or whatever, it's fine. When you get to Seattle base and all of a sudden their job is to annoy old people like me, and it's fucked. But, there's just something I can't... The mask is a pain in the ass, but there's something about it that sort of transcends just breathing your own bad breath. Like, there's something... There's an anxiety that goes along with it. Like, is it down? Is it up? Can I eat? You know, can I drink or whatever it is? We've just removed that from the flights now, and it's so much better. You haven't flown since the mask mandate went away, have you, Brian?
Oh, have I? Shit. I'm trying to think. While I think of that, let me get this straight. You and Mike August typically watch action movies, which are... on airplanes, which are certainly made for laptops. You know, the grand spectacle of a laptop is certainly yes. Lending itself. Mm-hmm. But instead, this time, you watched Licorice Pizza,
yes.
A movie that was released in glorious 70mm, made to
yes.
be seen on the biggest screen possible. You right. watched it without sound on
yes.
a laptop.
Yes, we did. And well I wrote down Mike's quote. At some point, something was going on 51 minutes into the movie, and Mike looked at this soundless screen and went, "Oh, now what?" It's like, no, Mike, nothing. You don't know what's happening. That's why there's nothing. I wanted to talk. You can tell us, why was he arrested? Mike was apoplectic because he's like, why is this kid get at? Well, I was like, I'm sure they said something in the film that led,
yeah, he
led
was,
to this.
He was running some low-level scam involving pinball machines or waterbeds or something. But I like that Mike was indignant, like it's on the filmmakers to explain silently all the entire plot.
It was my fault because I've wanted to see Licorice Pizza, but I probably... also wanted to hear Licorice Pizza. And it took place in the San Fernando Valley where I grew up. So I was told there's going to be a lot of landmarks that I
That's
could
true.
Look at. So I thought visually I could see it. But Mike's from Louisiana, so he has no
He's
excuse.
He's like, what's going on here?
Right. So we did watch. Mike, I don't even think we... What did we make it, an hour and 20 minutes in?
More like 20 minutes.
No, you watch over an hour of that film. You were done with it. Mike was also disgusted because the people in the film weren't good-looking enough.
That is true. I mean, it's
yeah.
Seymour Hoffman's son and a musician, actress, acting for the first time.
Oh, that's Seymour. I said that's Gandolfini's son and fucked Mike shit up. That's Seymour Hoffman's son. All right. All right.
You're on the right track.
Should we play? You want to play some Rotten Tomatoes game?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'll say a little heads up, Rotten Tomatoes. We're guaranteed a top two finish.
Well, I was going to suggest that we get this gentleman up front to play along with us because, I don't know, two-manner seems a little light, but he can tell us. What's your name?
Andy.
Andy. All right, Andy, you understand how the game is played? You want to play along with us? All right, he seems fairly confident. So we'll have Andy round out the trifecta here. Here we go, Chris.
All right. So, well, here we are in the crossroads of America, Adam, Indiana.
No, we're deep in the East with a three-hour time difference from fucking L.A. Like, I couldn't use that goddamn hour today.
It's sunny here.
Well, Indiana, literally meaning Land of the Indians. The state's probably going to have to change its name soon. Mm-hmm. But some fun, outdated laws here. Speaking of outdated... It's still in the books, although they don't enforce it. You can't catch a fish with your bare hands here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's still a law here. Also,
we're going to have to arrest a lot of bears.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking overregulated bullshit.
Also, it's illegal to take baths between the months of October and March here.
Oh, really?
Not good news.
That's prime whoring season. What are they doing?
And it's illegal for a man to be sexually aroused in public.
Well, I'd say it may break with decorum. I don't know if it's illegal in California. By the way, I would have been arrested in high school 37 times. There was no such thing. I had a homeroom boner. That'd be a good name for an indie band, Homeroom Boner. I had that fucking homeroom boner. By the way, where were these boxer briefs when I needed them? You know what I mean? I was going commando in sweatpants.
It's a de facto chastity belt.
Yeah, I know. I was just full free balling it with sweatpants, getting a boner every homeroom. What else is illegal?
Let's see. Mustaches are illegal if the bearer has a tendency to habitually kiss other humans.
What?
Yeah. I'm out.
I know, they have all these old laws here. They haven't changed them in the books, but they don't enforce them. But anyway, let's grab some popcorn and get back to the movies here. By the way, Indiana produces almost a third of the nation's popcorn.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
And really? this week's Rotten Tomatoes game, themed around movies set in the state of Indiana. Mm. All right.
That's a lot of non sequiturs.
Yeah. Our first film follows a mild-mannered diner owner living in small-town Indiana with his family.
Oh, yeah.
When two spree killers enter his restaurant and threaten those inside, he swiftly kills them and is hailed a town hero. But after being thrown into the spotlight, dangerous men from his past begin to emerge from the shadows, indicating that this diner owner may actually have a history of violence. Mm. Starring Viggo Mortensen, Maria Bello, Ed Harris, and William Hurt from 2005, A History of Violence.
I really like this movie.
Yeah, it was a good movie. It had two scenes that bumped me. One is Viggo went down on his wife who was wearing her high school cheerleading outfit.
She still fit into it.
Yeah, which was weird, like at the top of a staircase going up in the attic. And, you know, that was a little off-putting. I remember that. And then they had that stupid scene where Son caught a lazy fly ball in the outfield, and then the guy who hit it was all pissed off at him. That
no,
was
no. It was even more. Was it the guy who hit it, or was it another outfielder? Because it was absurd either way. Like, the kid made a routine catch on a can of corn, and the other player was furious. He's outraged.
It was the guy. So in this scene in this movie, the guy who came up to bat
was a spindly guy, but he had his sleeves rolled up to expose his spindly arms, which made him a tough guy. Like, that's how it used to work. Like, if a guy was 145 pounds soaking wet, but he had his sleeves rolled up with a pack of cigarettes in it, then it's like, oh, you're skinny and you have bronchitis? I'm now shaking in my boots. But the little skinny guy got up to bat, and then he did this thing where he, like, went to Babe Ruth. He, like, called it out. He's like, yeah, man, get back, everybody. And then he hit a lazy fucking can of corn out to right field, and Viggo Mortensen's son, like, stepped up and just caught the fly. And then later on, they were in the locker room, and the spindly pussy who hit the fucking Texas leaguer out to right field was like, what the fuck was that about? It's like... Hey, douche, we're playing softball. We're in the 10th grade. You had a fucking lazy fly ball. I'm sort of required to catch it. Otherwise, my teammates will be upset. It was a piece of bad writing and directing. It must, this guy, whoever directed this has to be a foreigner because he's not familiar with softball.
I'm pretty sure it's David Cronenberg, who's Canadian, I think. So, but you're right. I remember this early in the movie, I was afraid it would be a bad movie because here's how it works. It was like pop fly, kid catches it, crowd cheers, and then quick cut to the hitter who's furious. He's like scowling at him.
It's going to be a long life of softball for this kid if that's how he's wired. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to hit a comebacker to the pitcher, and the pitcher's going to underhand it to first base, and he's going to go throw a punch at the pitcher. What the fuck was that about?
How dare you?
All right, but anyway, other than that, a pretty interesting film. You got your, you got it locked down there, Brian?
I do, yes.
Wait, is it Andy?
Yep.
Andy, let's see. I will lock mine into my mind. Okay.
Rotten at 49.
Rotten at 49, oh.
Oh, Andy, you're off to a rough start, buddy.
I had 87.
Yeah, I'm right well. 88. Look at that.
88.
Well, we have a 5-point deduction.
Ooh.
A History of Violence is certified fresh at 87.
Yeah! All right, let's bring it home. We got to get into the news.
All right. This next film is set in the suburbs of Indianapolis. Focusing on a 16-year-old girl whose thyroid cancer has spread to her lungs.
Oh, my.
After her parents force her to attend a support group, she meets and subsequently falls in love with another cancer patient. They end up taking a trip to Amsterdam together, and share their first kiss at the Anne Frank house.
That's right.
And one of them even has a pre-funeral.
This is Shailene Woodley.
Yeah, Shailene Woodley, Baby Driver, Ansel Elgort, and Laura Dern. Based on the novel of the same name from 2014, The Fault in Our Stars.
Mm. I did not see this movie. Did you see it, Brian?
I did, and I'll not be sharing any thoughts.
Oh, okay.
No, it's this movie exceeded my expectations. I thought it was going to be kind of a teen, young adult romance or whatever, and it was actually pretty good.
All right. And is this a guy from Baby Driver?
Yeah.
You know what I've learned?
Ansel Elgort.
From all good action driving movies of the last like 10 years, if the bad guys are on your tail and they're catching your car, all you got to do is pull an e-brake, whip it around, and throw it in reverse, and you'll smoke their ass. I'm not sure why more funny cars and Top Fuelers don't line up backwards. Because evidently, that's the way to smoke your competition, is put the car in reverse, which has one fucking gear, and tops out at 28 miles an hour. But somehow, you pull that e-brake and whip it around, you will fucking smoke that guy in reverse. That's what I've learned from watching action movies.
Look at you working the local material.
That's right. All right, Andy, you're mathematically have been eliminated, but I'm going off of Brian, and Brian can be misleading at times.
I can be cagey, but I'll never outright lie and say, "Oh, I love this movie," and it's, and I didn't, or you know what I mean.
Yes, like, all right. You liked it. He liked it. I didn't see it, but I heard it was okay. What do you got?
I'll do 85.
85. All right, that seems a little strong, but people like this thematically. 79.
Right there with it. 81.
We have another 5-point deduction.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Corolla.
The Fault in Our Stars is certified fresh at 81%.
Oh, right back in it.
Wow.
All right. Our next film takes place in the fictional town of Greenleaf, Indiana. And it's actually inspired by Tom Hanks' 1994 Oscar acceptance speech, where he recognized two men from his high school as, quote, two of the finest gay Americans to be associated with. In this movie, Kevin Kline plays a Midwestern teacher whose former student makes a similar comment about him at the Academy Awards. Yeah. The only thing is, he's not gay, right? Featuring a then-groundbreaking 12-second kiss between Kline and Tom Selleck, co-starring Joan Cusack, Bob Newhart, and Wilford Brimley, from 1997, In and Out.
Is Buttigieg from out here? That is saying?
Mayor Pete?
What'd he take, 3 months off for maternity? Look, here's the deal. I'm all for gay equality, but we got to establish which one to use a top. And that motherfucker's got to go back to work after 3 days. The fucking bottom can hang out on the taxpayer's dime for 3 months. But whoever the top is, and you have to declare a major, whoever the fucking top is, you got 72 hours of hanging out and bonding with whatever it is you adopted or whatever the surrogate is you crapped out of, and then you got to get your ass back to work. And if you drive a forklift or if you run the Department of Transportation, it's all the fucking same. You got to get your ass back to work. That's just me. Declare a major. All right.
Especially a government employee. We're paying for that shit.
I did not see this movie. Did you see this movie?
No, I have not.
Chris, is it funny?
Do we have any intel?
Who directed it, Chris?
Let me find out.
Oh,
all right. All right. What do you think, Andy? Any thoughts? You don't know. 73? Andy says 70. 73. Andy has a very vibrant button-up shirt, but it's being muted by a charcoal gray sweater. So I'm thinking, like, what is it, Andy, with you? Do you like the flourish of colors? Do you like the muted stuff? Do you like to just tease me with the little snippets of floral print coming from the sleeve and the neck? What's going on?
Clean.
Oh, it's just a clean shit. Yeah. Okay.
Story checks out.
I have... Kevin Kline is great. Gay, maybe a few bonus points for gay. I have no idea. I've not seen this film and hear much about it. I'm going to just push it a little past and say 65.
Look at you, 64 right here.
Wow, man. We've been hovering around the same space the entire game.
In and Out, first of all, directed by Frank Oz, who played Yoda in the Star Wars series.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, indeed.
In and Out is fresh at 71%.
Oh,
there's some low scores here, man.
Wow. What was yours?
64.
All right. Wow. It's a couple of points one way or the other. So we get into the bonus rounds, not for Andy. Andy lost before he left the house this morning.
All right. Our next film takes place in a fictional town based off of New Richmond, Indiana. A town called Hickory.
Oh.
There we go.
Yeah.
Starring Gene Hackman as a new basketball coach with a checkered past, and Dennis Hopper, the local drunk. They train a small-town high school basketball team to become a top contender for the state championship, directed by David Anspaugh from 1986. In Europe, they know it as Best Shot, but we here all know it as Hoosiers.
I own this on DVD.
Why? Remember Remember that quaint time when there used to be a town drunk instead of a small army of guys strung out on fentanyl shitting on the sidewalk? I grew up watching Andy Griffith show. They had Otis. He was the fucking town drunk. There was a town drunk. If a town got more... If a town had two drunks, they would actually move one of the drunks to a town that didn't have a drunk.
Yeah.
There was a Lend-Lease program with town drunks. Now it's just a fucking small army of people strung out on bath salts walking in a circle in the middle of downtown. All right. They love this film.
Yeah, it's a heart warmer. Crowd-pleasing.
And you know, and Brian's been known to roll the dice and do 100.
True.
In the past. He'll go aggressive. Zero, he'll go 100. He'll be aggressive. Now, you just got to think, well, sports, sometimes the critics are a little bit tough with sports because all the critics were fucking nerds who never lettered in a goddamn sport, and now they like to punish people who excel in sports. So you might pull a couple of points off for sports.
Okay.
And but this is before sort of the all woke shit because you had all honky cast.
Oh,
a basketball player.
Yeah, this was I think Spike Lee or more than one person identified this as a racist movie because of the all white team, you know, heroically defeats the all black team at the end.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, no, I remember that because Spike Lee was in the middle of calling a cloud racist when someone pointed this out to him. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's racist, too. All right. Andy, what do you think?
95.
That's as close as you're going to get. Now, Brian and I are really tight, and we know this is, you know, I don't think this is in the 80s. But I'll say 92. What do you say, Brian?
Oh, what do you think? 91.
91.
We have another 5-point deduction.
Holy good God.
Someone's going to score single digits.
Hoosiers is certified fresh at 91%.
Oh, God damn it. Jesus.
This is going to be the best losing score ever. You're going to have like 7.
All right, lastly.
Jesus Christ.
In this next movie, we're going to...
This is important. You guys don't know. You've not been here. You don't understand. You know what it's like to compete, to love, to lose, to be vanquished on stage in front of peers who make a lot less than you. You don't know what that's like. I've walked in my shoes. You don't understand. So don't judge.
I'm just glad you called me a peer.
No, I call them peers. You're queers. Sorry, go ahead.
All right, our last film.
You're the peer.
We're going to follow four women who reunite in their hometown of Shelby, Indiana. Together, they reminisce about a pivotal summer they had as 12-year-olds back in 1970, where they regularly performed seances at the cemetery, befriended a guy named Crazy Pete, and dealt with their lame parents, featuring an all-star lineup, Christina Ricci, Thora Birch, Melanie Griffith, Rita Wilson, Demi Moore, and Rosie O'Donnell from 1995. The movie is called Now and Then.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
This could increase our score by 50 points.
I know. I have no recollection of this film.
Yeah, I don't even know what this is.
Isn't, Breaking Away was in Indianapolis, right? What the fuck happened to Breaking Away? It's one
we've
of my
done
favorite
that.
Films.
We've done that one.
We've done it.
All right. Now, 95? Now and then. Born. Yeah, so this could break it open because, you know, Hoosiers was 90-plus. No one's going to be more than a few points off of that. But this thing could be in the 30s. I've never even... Have you heard of this film, Brian?
I have heard of it, and Chris, I know you're not going to have this, but do we know who directed it? Is it a notable name? I've heard of this movie. I don't know anything about it.
Let me check.
All right.
Probably good.
So this, it's got a decent cast. I don't know what the story is. It's probably a likable story. The ladies are doing it for themselves. Maybe it gets a couple of points there.
I'm sure there's flashbacks, you know, that's what the younger cast.
Brian is probably, you know, Brian's up ahead a couple of points, but this thing could really go either way with this film. What do you say, Andy?
Lame poster, 12.
Lame poster 12. Wow. All right. I have no idea, so I'm going to go 42.
Are you kidding? 44.
Jesus Christ. God damn it.
Now and Then, directed by Leslie Linka Glatter, who is known for directing Homeland.
Oh boy.
Now and Then is rotten at 16%.
Oh! Oh! I could have won that goddamn thing!
Andy, look at you, buddy.
Wait a minute. It says 33 up here.
I was given the wrong number. Let me change it to 33.
And now what are we supposed to believe you've been doing up until now?
I demand a recount.
33. All right.
God, all the other ones.
There's going to be a couple of really good scores here.
Yeah.
Now, Andy, if it was 13 or 16 or whatever the fuck it was, could have picked up 30 points on me and Brian there.
No, I saw that score. He wasn't close.
33. All right.
All right. Here are the results. In third place, Andy.
Oh.
Oh.
With a score of 69.
Not bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In honor of A History of Violence.
That's right.
All right, let's just go to first place here. The winner of today's game. With a score of 9.
Oh. 9!
Bald Brian with the win.
Hold on.
Adam Carolla, you have 13. You scored 13.
Hold on, Asian guy who can't do math. Because you're the wrong kind of Asian. What'd I get?
13.
13.
Wow,
Jesus Christ.
Amazing.
Yeah, at the third round, you both were tied with 3.
Oh, my God. Well, everyone's a winner except for Andy in this day.
Yeah, sorry, Andy.
Let's bring it home. Let's bring it home. All right.
Second place.
Wow.
Brutal.
Max, I'm holding my head up high. Max Spada, you got the you want to do the news before we get into the balls up
yeah.
here with Gregory, who's where is Gregory? Gregory's there's Gregory. All right, so Gregory, you're gonna come up in a minute. Pull these balls. We'll
yeah, I'm gonna head up there. Just give me a second.
Oh, you're heading up to the stage. All right, Max Spada.
Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with GEICO. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to GEICO. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.
All right, go ahead.
All right, the first story here, this is in Michigan. So 2 years ago, March of 2020, what happened was a guy took his Jeep in to get the oil changed, and these two guys are doing the oil change, and one of them gets behind the wheel to move the Jeep, and he doesn't know how to drive a stick shift, so the car lurches forward and pins the guy into a cabinet, his employee. Mm-hmm. That guy dies.
Wow.
Yeah. So 2 years later...
Well, hold on.
That's a COVID
death. We all have to go. And... You could be stabbed by a hobo, you could be claimed by cancer, you could die of syphilis or hepatitis C. So if I had to go, I think being pinned by a Jeep would probably be the way I'd like to go.
Yeah.
That's a dignified way to go.
I think so. There are definitely way worse ways to go. So
he dies.
He dies.
They couldn't fucking roll the Jeep. He just dropped the clutch and okay.
Yeah,
Lurch forward.
Didn't know.
Didn't that other kid get pinned against the gate in his Jeep Cherokee?
That Russian actor.
Yeah, there's an actor that like they're having trouble when they put it in
Anton
park, and
something.
Then he went in front and then got
Anton
pinned
Yeltsin,
by the Jeep.
That's how he died.
Yeah, that's how he died. He at his house. Yeah, I think it was a Jeep.
It was an automatic Jeep, I think, this guy's.
Yeah, and he got pinned, but he was alone, so he just died slowly as the thing...
That's the way I'd like to die, slowly underneath a Cherokee.
Well, the family of this guy who died is trying to figure out, who do we sue? And, I mean, you have a choice. You could sue the employee who can't drive stick.
Well, here's how suing works.
Yeah.
The employee who can't drive a stick makes $14 an hour and has three kids and owes a baby mama a bunch of back child support. He's what we call an empty bag. So then you have to go to the dealership or whoever, Muncie, who manufactures the transmissions on the Jeep. It's not about finding out who's at fault. It's finding out who has money, who you can build a thread to and sue that person. That's how suing works. You can't sue the person that's at fault. Everyone who's at fault is always an empty bag. It's always just a low-level employee. You know, the guy who fucks up running the roller coaster, that guy gets $13 an hour. The guys who manufacture the roller coaster parts who had nothing to do with it, those are the guys you sue when you sue. So that's my prediction.
Well, there's some Michigan laws that kind of get in the way of who this family can sue. And there's only one person they can sue. So it's not the employee, and it's not the dealership. It's the guy who owns the car. So this guy who's just waiting in the lobby for his oil change is now on the hook for millions of dollars because the Michigan law is that whoever owns the car is responsible for whatever happens. So if like you give your keys to the valet and that guy runs over a pedestrian, that's your fault in Michigan.
Wow. Motor City, indeed. They're serious about their car ownership there.
Yeah. So an injured coworker can't sue the boss because of the boss's negligence. In this case, the boss is negligent because they hired somebody who didn't know how to drive stick.
Right.
And didn't even have a driver's license.
Oh.
Yeah. The law is if you let your friend drive your car and they hit someone, they should be suing you and your insurance.
Right. So the guy who owned the car, who's getting the oil change, who gave the keys to the guy, is getting sued.
Yeah. So, and his choice, though, is he's trying now to sue the dealership for getting sued. So, yeah, it's just a weird circle of life there.
Yeah. Kuna Matsua.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of getting hit by a car, we got a nice Florida story for you.
Oh, good.
Yep. So authorities are investigating after a sheriff's deputy on patrol drove over a 23-year-old woman Wednesday afternoon while she was sunbathing. So you're always complaining about what you can and can't do on the beach. Well, in Florida, you could drive your SUVs, especially if you're the cops driving on the sand.
Yeah.
So allegedly what happened was the officer got a dispatch call and was distracted. He's patrolling St. Pete Beach. He made a right turn and drove over the woman who was lying in the sand. The front tire hit the victim into the mid to upper back area. She was rushed to a hospital with non-life-threatening injuries.
So she made it.
Oh, yeah, she made it. She's going to sue. So
if you're going to get run over by a vehicle, on the sand is where you want to be.
Yeah, of all the places. Yeah, sand or like a mattress store or something.
Yeah. You want to be testing a mattress out with the memory foam if an off-road vehicle.
House.
Right. But you don't want to be at the airport on the terrazzo. That's a hard surface.
Yeah.
Right.
Unforgiving.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, you want to be able to sink into that sand. Did she spill her spike seltzer? Because if she didn't, that woman's a fucking keeper.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if she was asleep.
I mean, she must have been, or at least she was face down if she was ran over her upper back area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, she didn't know it was coming. I wonder if that SUV was electric, not even making a sound as it's coming by you.
Do chicks still do the unstrap the top, lay on their belly sort of weird dance
just to
give guys boners around them? Is that a thing? You know what I mean? Like, remember that? Like, remember when you were younger, the chicks on the beach, they'd be wearing their bikinis, and then at some point they'd go, oh, now I'm going to roll over, but I don't want a tan line, which really only represents about 3/8 of an inch going from one shoulder to the next. Is that really intrusive? Like, whoever fucking sees that? Who would see that? Like, why do we have to go through this elaborate ballet to get rid of that tan line? You're only doing it to give guys around you a boner.
Right.
Because 100%. They undo it, and then they hold it.
They know what
and
they're doing.
Then they lay down. Then it comes time to get up, and they do the thing. And then at some point, they ask one of their friends, hey, about 20 minutes in, you announce you're making a snack shack run, and you say something to me, and then I'll sit up and hold it and give everyone a boner around me, and then we'll talk, and then I'll lay down again, holding the sides up. All for what? One single stripe that's 5/16 across, going across your fucking back. Only your fucking husband or boyfriend or whoever's banging you doggy style will be the only one that's privy to that white stripe. What's with the ballet? You're fucking with us.
It's not like it's the scarlet letter. It indicates you are out in the sun in
right.
a bikini.
Right.
Yeah.
And the tan lines are good in the front, right?
Yeah.
Right. So what's with the ballet in the back? I don't think chicks do that anymore. Do they still do it?
Yeah, I think they still do it. But, I mean, I think we're all okay with tan lines here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, let's be okay with that. And, yeah, as Ryan said, it's an indicator. It means you put in the work.
That's right.
All right. Well, if I do a Florida story, I got to do a Germany story next.
All right.
And do you know what stealthing is, Adam?
No,
the act of
it's
stealthing.
A hell of a movie, that movie about a stealth fighter or bomber or whatever it was.
That was Broken Arrow.
Oh, it was Broken Arrow. They were in a stealth. There was also a movie called Stealth, too. I don't know. Stealth, like is it like when
19.
You're dating someone on an app, but you're following them, but they don't know you're following them? Or something like that?
Well, it's close. So stealthing is the act of a guy when he's making love to a woman with a condom. He secretly, while having sex, takes the condom off and continues stealthing. It is sexual assault, everybody, so do not do that. Disclaimer. But there's a thing that women can do that's also similar. A German woman...
Wait, so it's when you're having sex with a condom on...
Yeah.
And then you...
And you sneak out, you pull the condom off, and you return
but where are you
to the
going?
Action. Oh, in, I mean...
But how's this work? Like, it's not going to work. Like, I got to feed the meter. Is the Chick-fil-A open till 10? Like, where are you going with your boner and your condom?
Oh, no, you go back to having sex. She doesn't know.
I know, but where are you going? You're having... Sex with what? The condom?
Yeah.
And then you switch positions?
Yeah.
Like, you're like, I want to see that tan line on your back, bitch. Let me just move around. That's when the condom gets ejected?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, question. I don't have a vagina anymore, but right. Can the girl not feel the difference instantly between the rubber and the nut?
Ladies?
It
depends how wet you are. Well, there you go.
Okay.
Thank you. Where'd you go to finishing school? Depends how wet you are. Your snatch is all fucking lubed up. Gotta go at you with a fucking bowling pin. Raw dog, you don't feel shit, man.
Tomorrow that girl will be like, hey, all my friends, I'm on a podcast. Listen up.
I was wet enough for an oscillating spindle sand or 60 grit. Didn't fucking feel shit. You guys know an oscillating spindle sand ever seen? Fucking look that shit up when you get home. You have a fucking good laugh. All right, so it's called stealthing.
It's called stealthing. But a German woman was sentenced to 6 months in prison for the female version of that. So she was in a friends with benefits relationship with a dude, and she was secretly poking holes in the partner's condom. Yeah, because she, you know, she's trying to get pregnant. She wants this guy's baby, his seed. And she ends up texting him because she thought she got pregnant. It's like, hey, I've been poking holes in the condoms. And
well,
I'm pregnant.
Hold on a second. Poking holes in a condom. Do you do that with a paper punch? Do you do it? But do you do it with like a sharpened chopstick? Do you do it with a pin? I feel because I feel like if you do a pin, it might be like sort of self-sealing. I like what do you poke a hole in a condom with? You know what I mean?
That's unclear, maybe, but the hole punch seems like the most effective.
But also, it did give away.
But also, when the guy puts the condom on and feels a draft, don't you feel like... You guys ever broke a condom? I've had sex a million years ago with a condom, and it was like the first time I used it, and I was like, man, I don't know what everyone's complaining about. It was like taking a shower with a raincoat on. I was like, this feels pretty fucking good. And when I was done, I noticed I was just wearing it around my balls. Like it broke. Early, I probably kept my wallet for 11 years. I probably had a chance. Moth flew out of it when I opened it up. But I remember going like, hey, this feels good. Like, what's everyone complaining about? But it broke.
Yeah.
You blew a hole in thing.
Yeah.
So she texts the guy saying, hey, I've been poking holes in the condom. I could be pregnant. And the guy responds by filing a criminal charge against her. Wow. She was initially faced with charges of rape, later reduced to sexual assault, but Germany, there you go.
Is that really, I don't feel like that it rises to the level of rape, because he got the boner, he put the condom on, he had sex with you, yeah. So I don't really think that would be rape. But
well, then you and the judge are simpatico.
Yes, we're simpatico. So, but she poked holes again. I don't know how it goes. I do know... Our friend Drake puts the hot sauce in the condoms, and I don't know, flush the shit down the toilet. You really need to have a essentially travel with that many accoutrements, you know? Oh, and that could be what Hillary Clinton does too, because she travels with the Tabasco.
She loves her hot sauce.
So it's like when Bill is with one of his whores, she probably runs into the bathroom and like. Or she puts it on scrambled eggs. I don't know. We'll never know.
Never know.
That's the point.
Let's do a Dave Chappelle update here. So we all know that he was attacked at the Hollywood Bowl when he was performing.
Yeah.
And the team tackled the attacker, and they broke his arm. Well, Kevin Hart went on Kimmel to talk about it. And he said, somebody ran on stage and got their ass whooped. Not scary. It's one of those things that needed to happen. Do you want people to continue to think that they can just cross that line and break the barrier of entertainer and audience? Somebody getting their ass whooped sends a message out to the other people that was like, you know, I was thinking about doing that, but after seeing that, I don't really want to do that. So Kevin Hart loves that that guy got his ass kicked because it sends a message.
Right. But... most comedians are just traveling, working comedians without a posse. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't...
You got Chris?
Yeah, so... If
Try
this
it.
Guy
Try
charged
it.
The stage about minute 18 of him sodomizing me, Mike would look up from his computer, look back down... check his USFL games to see what the over-under was, and at some point make his way to the stage, offer you a beer, and then go back and sit down again. This is great. Yeah, if you have Jamie Foxx and Ja Rule or whoever the
Busta Rhymes
is standing, Busta Rhymes, but all standing, you have all your fucking security guys back there, then so be it. But it doesn't work well for your basic low-life comedian who's just rolling into town and up on stage alone. Although, you fuck with me, and I'll walk up to you and go, hey, man, I didn't want any trouble. I just want to introduce myself. My name is Art Fuss!
Yeah!
Well, my son hated that shit the first 22 times I did it, but now he kind of looks forward to it. I think I got to believe.
Well, Isaiah Lee, the attacker, he entered a not guilty plea, and his bail was set at $30,000. He had a sling and a bandaged arm during his court appearance. The judge also ordered that Lee has to stay 100 yards away from Chappelle's residence, as well as any place he's performing, and also from the Hollywood Bowl.
Why not just make it a mile?
Yeah.
You really have to go 100 yards?
Yeah.
And by the way, this guy's a brother.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of brothers out there that can cover 100 yards in 9.7 seconds. So essentially, when you're talking to a fit black man, you're saying, you must stay about 9.5 seconds away from the person you assaulted. Now, that doesn't sound the same, does it?
No.
But they can cover ground in a real short period of time. This guy played ball, obviously. He fucking got up on stage, launched himself, textbook tackle. I mean, this guy's like the fucking honey badger. 100 yards, 9.7 seconds away from being attacked. Doesn't sound too comforting if you're the victim, does it? Now, not all black people can cover 100 in 9.7 seconds. Some are into the high 10s, even low 11s. But that's still not a lot of lead time if you were attacked by this guy. This guy got up on stage and covered 35 feet in 1.7 seconds. He's a fucking gamer.
Yeah. Yeah, and 100 yards, that you spend your whole life running that amount, so you know exactly how fast you can
get. What if Ronaldo Nehemiah, I'm trying to think of a sprinter, or what's his name?
Usain Bolt.
Yeah, Usain Bolt. All right. What if that guy hated your guts, and he wanted to put his fucking hands on you?
Go on.
And you saw him, and he's like, oh, he's 100 yards away, and you started running. You wouldn't make it to one fucking stoplight before he was on your ass.
Yeah.
So evidently, look, if you're white and fat and dumpy and you got a bad wheel, you got shin splints or fucking fused vertebrae or some shit like that, 100 yards might do it.
Yeah.
This guy's a fucking 26-year-old athlete who played some junior college ball. I saw the way. That was a textbook tackle.
Yeah, judges should have to get their combine score.
They should.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This guy put up 220 41 times. His vertical was 39 inches. This guy, fucking 100 yards. That's fucking nothing for this guy. He'll do the fucking karaoke 100 fucking yards. Yeah. I don't know why it was the karaoke before it was the karaoke, but yeah, so he's going to...
Yeah, it's too short.
That's just we couldn't make it a quarter mile or 500 feet. No, it's got to be 100 yards.
Yeah. All right, well, let's move on to this one. So,
and then how enforced is it?
I mean,
I get Chappelle's house. We're all more than 100 yards from Chappelle's house, but...
Yeah.
What if Chappelle is playing, the Greek theater, and then you're just down the street eating at some bistro, and you're technically, what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think it's that well enforced.
What if he does a Zoom show, and he's on everyone's phone everywhere, and you can't get away? Yeah,
Brian brings up a very retarded point. It's a Zoom show. You're right.
Yeah, virtually.
The judge has to think about it. Now, look, we have to factor in the athleticism and the ethnicity.
We do.
I don't want to do it. We have to. Obviously, of the assailant.
Yeah, the ability.
It just makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do one more.
Okay. So in January, I don't know if you guys heard about this story where a handyman, he suffered from heart failure. So the University of Maryland gave him an experimental surgery where they transplanted a genetically modified pig's heart into his.
Mm.
So he died.
Oh, that's all. That would have been a good movie.
Yeah.
He would like come out of the hospital and like, who's hiding truffles?
He starts digging.
Somebody's hiding truffles. Sorry, go ahead.
Yes, and
he died.
Shortly after the surgery, he died in March. The hospital simply said his condition had worsened over the span of a few days, but they didn't provide an exact cause of death, but now mm-hmm. they looked into it, and there was a pig virus in the heart. He died of a pig virus.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it sucks because, that was a huge leap in medicine. Right. We're going to get animal hearts transplanted into us, but yeah. Big step back now.
Well, see what happens when you play God. Only God can masquerade as God.
Only God can play God.
Us mortals can't play God. But let's not look. I'm a carpenter. Calling a carpenter a handyman is like calling a doctor a chiropractor. They don't like that shit. You know, it's like an orthopedic surgeon doesn't want to be called. A chef, a cook. Let's just call him a deceased carpenter. He doesn't want handyman. Handyman is like hobo light. Handyman is like you have no discernible skills, so you'll be a master of none. And one day you'll be fixing a fence and then a toaster, and you're doing all the shit you do is with duct tape. You don't want to be a handyman. You want to be a carpenter. So okay, let's just call him.
We're going to call him a carpenter, guys. Is that right with you?
Right.
All right, give it up for the carpenter. And if you had to get an animal's heart and you obtained their tendencies, which animal would you want then?
Well, you know, I love the movie Red Dawn, so I'd have to go Wolverine.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's the noblest of all the animals, the Wolverine. Maybe the aforementioned honey badger. I think that's a pretty good one. I don't think
octopus.
I'm not sure if that
underwater
one would work, but yeah,
ass.
Octopus might be good. Although I wouldn't want someone to go full calamari on my ass. So I don't know if that's squid. I'm still unclear what the difference between the two are. What would you go, Brian? You go squid, octopus.
Yeah, breathe
you
underwater.
You go octopus.
Breathe underwater, 8 arms, and then black ink out of my ass.
Yeah. Is squid and octopus black ink out of the ass?
I don't think squid... Well,
squid ink. They call it squid ink,
right? That's a good point.
And by the way, there's nothing worse than when someone goes full seafood and they do the squid ink in with the fucking shit. It doesn't add anything. It freaks me out.
I don't want my food black, like just pitch black. It's weird.
Right. Yeah, it's weird. It's off-putting, and there's no fucking reason for it. And then I have to like try to do these machinations where I'm like, where did you get squid ink? And did you squeeze a squid? Did you put it in one of those things you used to get lemon juice out of a half lemon? And now there's squid. And by the way, I don't know. We call it squid ink. It could be squid cum, squid snot. It could be squid piss. It's just something that shoots out of a fucking squid that we as human beings have labeled this ink because we invented ink.
Because it looks like
you talk to a fucking squid, he could be like, oh, I busted a fucking nut all over the forehead of my, and like, you mean of ink? No, you call it ink. We don't fucking have ink. That's your fucking term. We call it squid cum. And you fucking just put it in your pasta? All right. Now that makes you gay.
Yeah, everyone just eats it. Yeah.
All right, let's bring it home.
All right, thanks, everybody, for the news. Appreciate you all.
All right, let's bid adieu to the Rotten Tomatoes Game champion with single-digit numbers, Paul Bryan.
Yeah.
Everybody. And let's bring up ball puller Gregory, who is a... let me read you his highlights. It turns out there's not much here. No, he's an aircraft maintenance guy for FedEx. And hang on to your panties, ladies. He collects vintage Coleman camping gear. So that's a fucking panty dropper, right? What, you mean that dude has a lantern from the 70s? Let's get his dick out right now. I can't wait. Can't wait till we get home. He's got a propane stove. Hey, man, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Have a seat right there, Gregory. Don't mind the mic that doesn't work.
All right.
So you're collecting... What is the jewel in the crown of the Coleman camping gear collectible shit for you?
Well, I guess the crown would be... This is going to sound so lame to everybody, but anyway, The Gold Bond lanterns, which are yellow.
Ah, not green.
No, they're hard to find, so uh-huh. Yeah. The Gold Bonds.
So those are worth like $11 now?
Actually, several hundred dollars.
Several hundred.
Maybe $1,000 if it's in good shape, yeah.
Is there a holy grail amongst guys who collect camping shit? I don't know. Remember they had those Marlboro Miles back in the day where you'd like cash in your cigarettes and get like a kayak or something? Is there a holy grail of Coleman camping stuff? Like, 1963 Jeep sponsored a deal with the whatever, and they only had these collector series at Jeep dealerships or some shit like that?
That would be the Gold Bond. It was a limited edition.
That was it.
That was it. Just yellow.
Do you have any of those?
No.
All right. But you got a dream, right?
I still, yeah, that'll probably be my, I don't buy anymore. I have what I want, so the Gold Bond will be my last purchase, but.
Do you have a son?
I do.
All right. So like when I die, I'll give my kids Paul Newman's 935 Porsche that he won at Le Mans, and your kid will get basically a flashlight. That kind of and then everyone will fucking claim he's a better dad than me.
That's it.
Guys.
That's the Gold Bond. Yeah. So he'll get a cooler, a lantern, and a stove. Yeah.
Yeah. That shit'll be up on eBay before the wake. I promise you that. I promise you that.
I'm sure it will be.
All right. You want to pull some balls there? Did they tell you how to whip that thing around?
They did. Yeah, so here we go.
And you do a little airplane mechanic read. And I think what you do is you go one direction, then you go the other. No one could ever figure out. No, you got it. If you got a ball out of there,
yeah,
you got
a ball here.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm old. I got to put these on.
Oh, you got to put your glasses on. All right. Nice penmanship, whoever wrote that.
That is nice. Trumpet.
Trumpet. All right. My dad plays the trumpet, played the flugelhorn. I tried playing the trumpet. There was about a 3-week period when I was 13 where I toyed with the idea of making my dad proud of me until I slid into my default setting, which is fuck that old man. But there was a moment where I thought about making him proud of me, and in the 7th grade, I played the trumpet. I played Mr. Innocencio's class, you know what I mean? Remember when you were in junior high and you had band class or shop class? You had this moment in every job. I had it in band class. I had it in shop class. I had it when I worked at McDonald's when I was 15 and a half. Like, you'd walk in, and you'd see the Wall of Fame. You know, they had the students, where this guy, man, that guy played the fucking oboe like nobody's business. And that guy graduated in 73. Or there was a version of this in shop class, picture the teacher. And he had his arm around a guy and it was plastics class. He had a fake waterfall or something. And you'd walk in there and you'd go, one day. My picture will grace this Wall of Fame, and all who enter this class will bow in front of me. And then you do the class, you get about 10 minutes in, and you go, fuck this noise. Fuck that wall. Well, we had a song, and we're going to play a song, and the song we're going to play at a concert. A nighttime school, 7th grade beginning band gathering. And it was the Neil Diamond song, Sweet Caroline. And I was like, well, that's a fucking peppy tune. And then I had these visions of myself, like, standing up. Ba-da-da-da, bum-bum-ba, ba-da-ba-da-da-da. You know, everyone's standing and swaying and stuff. They gave us a fucking sheet music. The part for the trumpet in that song, you don't even know what song it is. It's like, bum-bum. Bump, bump. Bump, bump. Like, this isn't even a fucking song. It's like pulling the mirror off a GT40 and going, guess what car this is? Anyway, I sucked at it, so I dropped out. And I will say this.
The thing about trumpets, trumpets have a spit valve, right? And there's some sort of weird relationship we have with the spit valve, which is my dad would go to his friend's house. He had this friend named Dr. Gold, and they had a house up in the hills, and he had this beautiful white shag carpet, you know? And if my dad had stood over this white carpet and just shot a snot rocket into it, Dr. Gold would have tackled him and dragged him out of the house. And if he just spit on the ground, Dr. Gold's wife would have fucking hit him in the head with a skillet. But if your spit travels through a horn and goes through the bottom of the trumpet, then you're allowed to stand there with the trumpet and fucking hit the spit valve and just drop a load on the carpet and go ahead and play, and no one says shit. It's like what Dave Matthews did when he emptied out his Winnebago over the bridge in Chicago, right? Basically, well, you can't stand on the beach and just pee, but if you want to walk 20 feet into the ocean, go at it. And that's what the spit valve is. Now, you guys tell me morally. My dad's getting a little old and can't really, doesn't have the chops to play the trumpet anymore. But the last trumpet I bought him was $3,500 fucking bucks. When he dies, do I get it? If my sister goes for that shit, which she will. Do I get to say something?
Yes.
Okay. Just checking your moral compass. Next ball.
All right.
Next ball. I think you go one way and then you go the other. Yeah, it'll do it automatically.
Kimmel.
Kimmel. I just talked to Kimmel last night. He got the COVID, right? And I'll tell you, I got a funny Kimmel story. So I guess he's fine. I was out at dinner sending him a text last night, and evidently he's doing well. I had a funny, I'll tell you a funny Kimmel story. Many years ago, we were traveling. We went outside of Seattle. Because I think in 94, maybe 95, UCLA went to Seattle to the Kingdom to play in the Final Four. And Kevin and Bean, the morning show for K-Rock in Los Angeles, traveled out there for the week to cover the game and do a remote location. And Jimmy and I had to stay together in a very small motel that was about 45 minutes outside of Seattle. And we went out to a strip club that night, and we did fucking Jaeger shots, and we got fucking hammered, and we had a good time, except for we rolled back to the Motor Lodge at like 1:45, 2 a.m., and we were doing the morning show, so the alarm clock was set for 4:15. Is that the worst fucking feeling in the world? Is there any part of you that can ever do that? Is there any... It doesn't matter who you are, right? You drink until 2 a.m. The alarm goes off at 4:15. I don't fucking care if you're Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk. You are equally as miserable as every person in this room, right? It is the most miserable thing in the world. And I got up and I was like, oh, God, I feel like hell. Oh, God. Oh, my head's throbbing and shit like that. Jimmy went in, took a shower. You got to take a shower to wake yourself up at that point. You're still drunk. Jimmy goes into the bathroom, takes a shower. I go in 5 minutes later. I go into the bathtub. It's half full with water because it's such a cheap motel. The fucking thing doesn't drain, right? So I step into the lukewarm, dirty water, and I'm leaning over the thing, like trying to think, like, should I throw up or kill myself? Maybe I should kill myself and then throw up. Get the stripper glitters piling up at the dirty water up to mid-shin height. And I'm laying there. I'm just standing there going, life couldn't get any fucking worse. And then Jimmy knocks on the door and goes, and I go, yeah. And he goes, heads up. I beat off in there.
know if he did to this day. I don't want to know. I don't know if he was just trying to fucking get me to drown myself in the tub, but that's the great Jimmy Kimmel. All right, pull another ball there, Gregory. Now, I think what you do is you turn it that way, and then you turn it the other way. You go clockwise, and then you go counterclockwise. You don't have to pull it out of there. Just no, yeah, there you go. There you go. There you go. There you go.
OnlyFans.
OnlyFans. Is OnlyFans a bunch of dudes that pay you to shake your snatch in front of the camera? Is that OnlyFans? Is that what that is?
I think so.
It's like, it's kind of weird, but for women, not being fat, being under the age of 30, and having a snatch is like some sort of secret superpower where you can always get paid. You know what I mean? I mean, depending on what you're willing to do, but you can always fucking turn a buck. All you have to be is under 30, not fat, and have a snatch, right? There's no such version of that. Like, when I was 19 and I wandered onto a construction site, it wasn't like, all right, Corolla, grab that flathead shovel and get to work. And I just went, pulled out my cock and balls and went, fuck that. I want you to pay me to look at this shit. Be like, take the fucking shovel and get in the fucking hole. And I'm like, how about you pay me to look at my cock and balls? I don't look bad. There's no fucking such thing. Women, if they're willing to do it, and I would have been, listen, if when I was fucking 22, if I was hot and had a snatch, I'd be doing all the fucking shit everyone says not to do and getting paid. I'd be up on the OnlyFans is what it's called.
Yeah,
and
OnlyFans.
Is everyone getting naked on this thing, or what are they doing? And then you have to, what, follow your favorite whoever? Do you know how this works? You're an airplane mechanic. You don't know any shit about this.
Yeah, I'm not sure how it works.
Is most of your shit standard or metric?
Standard.
Really?
Yes.
Good. Fuck those Europeans. And their metric system.
Even the Airbus is mostly standard.
Even the fucking Airbus.
Absolutely.
Take that, Europe and beyond. Well, goddamn right. Because I'll tell you what. The metric system makes no sense. You pull out a 10 millimeter and the nut's a little bigger. I don't know. Could be an 11. Who knows? But you pull out a 3/16, then it could be a 5/32 or a 3/8.
That's right.
It makes perfect sense. The metric system is a fuck of a lot better than ours. I hate to fucking say. But I want to say this. When I was in the sixth grade, Mrs. Parker announced to the class, she's like, there's going to be two types of people in this class. These are the people who learn the metric system, and then the other half are unemployed. Well, she's dead now. Because I killed her with a half-inch drive standard SAE fucking ratchet. Anyway, if you got a snatch, and you're not fat, and you're under 30... you'll never dig a ditch in your life. All right, let's do one more, Gregory.
All right, here we go.
Now, do you have some built up there? There you go.
Taint.
Taint. I feel like this has been too dirty. What? Let's do dealer's choice. What else you got in that line? We can do toast. Taint yours? Oh, those are the ones that are already red. All right.
One came out earlier. Moist.
Oh, moist. All right. It's all grotesque. I don't know where your fucking heads are at, people.
You want another one?
For sure. It'll be taint or whatever comes out. We'll figure this out. This guy wants taint.
Psycho.
Psycho. Is that how you spell psycho?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, probably is. All right, let's get back to taint. What? All right. Can I say this? We need a contribution from our generation to a body part that gets traction. Now, here's what I'm saying. I didn't grow up with taints. Did you grow up with taints? Andy, you didn't know what a fucking taint was when you're 13. Yeah. You didn't. You thought that was like a country guy going, well, a taint this and a taint that. You didn't know what a taint was. I didn't know what a taint was. We had cock and balls, snatch, asshole, nipples, barely areolas. That was kind of new on the scene. But we didn't have gunts. We didn't have taints. We didn't have all the shit that the kids have today. It's a world of possibilities that my son will grow up in. And all I'm saying is some guy 22 years ago came up with the notion of taint, and now we all know it. You know what I mean? So, you know, when the history is written, there'll be the guy who came up with Twitter. The guy came up with the idea for Uber. And then the guy who coined the phrase taint. They'll all be on the Mount Rushmore of great Americans. But if you think about it, taint is not that old. Did you ladies know what a taint was when you were in high school? Gregory, taint?
No.
No, taint feels new to me, right? So somebody explored the human anatomy, came up with a part that was unexplored and untitled, and planted a flag in the name of Spain called taint. So I put it up to you, intrepid Americans. What body part could we label and lay claim to? Because the hero who came up with the term taint, that guy's legacy is, it's etched in granite.
Yeah.
It's like all the Abraham Lincoln and... And oh, Behyman. Oh, that's right. But oh, yeah. But we got to get some traction with that. So it'll be like Abraham Lincoln and Rosa Parks and Lombardi, and the guy came up with taint. Those are all the greats. So I came up with Behyman. But Behyman is strong, but it's not really. It's more of an idea than it is an actual part. And where is your taint? Right on your nutsack?
The guy's bourbon is
the
gooch.
The gooch?
The gooch for
the guys. The gooch is the guys?
Same area, just different name.
What do you know so much about this one? Oh, okay. All right. So listen, I'm not going to say what that new name is or what that new part is. You guys can tweet me that later on. But I want you to all think about it. Like, what is your taint? You know what I mean? And I'm going to get philosophical here. But that man had a dream, and that dream was to name a body part that didn't really even exist. You know what I mean? It's just territory. You got toes, you got eyeballs, you got lips, you got nostrils, you got nutsacks. Taint isn't even a thing. It's just a fucking patch of skin in between your asshole and your nutsack. Well, what I'm saying is, like, there's your hip and there's your knee bone. The shit between it, that's just skin. You don't get to name that shit, but this guy had a dream. And he fucking named it. And I bet he was ridiculed. Oh, I bet he showed up and he burst into his house and he yelled at his wife, Excelsior! I have a name for the patch of skin between the nutsack and the asshole. And she went, oh, please, with your harebrained ideas. And he went, I call it the taint. And she screamed, that'll never catch on. But look at us tonight. A random club in a random city. And you in the US of A. And every single one of us has heard of the word taint. And if that doesn't inspire you, I don't know what will. Thank you. Put your hands together for Gregory over here. And until next time, Sam Crow for Bald Brian and Chris Maxipata and Gregory saying, Mahalo! Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with GEICO. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to GEICO. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.